It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, again, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, maybe North Carolina, Georgia. That's what matters. And a lot of interesting things going on in politics. You know, it's funny, Matt, Idiocracy is trending today. We did the movie clip the other day. It's because, you know, Megan Thee Stallion played the – she did a thing at the Harris rally in Georgia. And everyone's just – it's all this, like, right versus left. Who can get the meme or the clip that goes viral? Because now – All the people on the right are putting the Idiocracy hashtag on Megan Thee Stallion doing her thing at a rally. It's just really, the whole thing is, you laugh to keep from crying, I guess. Ozzie Palomo, Chartwell Strategy, joining us here on Brian and Company. First of all, Ozzie, how's the summer going?
The summer's going well, Brian. I can't complain. And I guess I never really thought that you would be the authorizing figure in Megan Thee Stallion. So yeah. Thank you for sharing that today.
Well, you know, that's the kind of information people need here in Connecticut. Although my golf game, I played yesterday with my son. I'm terrible at golf. My clubs stink. I was phenomenal yesterday. I thought about you. I said, we got to get out there together at some point. Listen, I'm just curious. Because, I mean, listen, the honeymoon is the honeymoon, and the honeymoons, they, as you well know, they end. Right now, there's a little bit of momentum, it seems, on the Democratic side. I'm just curious, like, from you and your conversations with your colleague, your Republican, lobbyist, you know, what's the degree of concern, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, look, I think obviously when Biden dropped out, this race changed dramatically, and Harris's ability to kind of coalesce Democratic support around her, and you know, she had a very good week or very good rollout. There's no doubting that. I thought that was impressive to be able to kind of, you know, push everyone out and say, you know, I'm the one. So the momentum is clearly on their side for the week. But there's still a lot of unanswered questions about what that ticket looks like going forward. And can she sustain that momentum, you know, over the next 97, 96 days, however many days are left? I think the race kind of recalibrated back to where it was pre-debate. This is, you know, it's back to kind of a tight, narrow margin. You referenced the fact that this is going to come down to all but about six states, give or take a little, you know, maybe a few less than that. We're talking about a total of maybe 70,000 voters that will decide this presidential election. So it's going to be close. It's going to tighten up. And I expect, you know, the Harris campaign to probably struggle a little bit in sustaining this kind of level of momentum. And there's no doubt that the Trump campaign has to kind of figure out how to get the mojo back here in the near term.
Well, you know, it's funny. I find it to be like a role reversal, whereas like the name calling is sort of like the Democrat thing right now. And the desire to be issue focused sort of needs to be the Republican thing, because whether it's I don't even get the weird thing, why that's bothering people. But on the flip side, you know, when you see what happens overnight in the Middle East, you know, obviously the border is still a massive issue. I talked earlier today about the debt crossing $35 trillion. The Republicans have issues that work for them, and in some ways getting into this war of words might not actually be the right path.
Yeah, look, and I think, you know, this tends to happen with presidential campaigns and in large part, you know, some media coverage that they try to cover what's sensational versus what's substance. And I think for every kind of ad lib comment that J.D. Vance has made on a podcast, there's probably a slew of sentences that nobody understands what Kamala Harris has said in the past. So the name calling and the back and forth, it's just somewhat expected, but that's what's going to get focused on. I think once this debate turns into a debate over policy, you know, I think Republicans have a lot to stand on. You know, to your point, the border's still a mess, inflation's still an issue, crime and safety is a reality. You know, the instability in the Middle East and elsewhere, people understand that. So to your point, you know, to the extent that the Trump campaign can kind of pivot and make this into a policy argument about his 4 years versus the last 4 years, I think that's going to be a winning argument. And, I think a lot of that will start to take shape, you know, should they debate. And I think I think Trump has every intention to debate her. This is a little gamesmanship that he likes to play from time to time.
Yeah, he does this all the time. Come get me. Come find me. We know they're going to debate. Right. I didn't mean to interrupt your point.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but you know that I will.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, I'll say it. I mean, even though you say it, you know, J.D. Vance, you can sort of dismiss some of the things he said. I don't think we can do that, but we don't have time to break all that down. But you can admit that the rollout has not been good. And my feeling, my opinion, is that Donald Trump was feeling his oats and felt really confident, and Vance was what he wanted, as opposed to a more conservative pick, not politically, but just in terms of, you know, like the politics of it, if you will, not issue focused conservative, but actual the person. And it was a bit of a risky pick, in my opinion, and some of it hasn't quite worked out. I mean, do you think it was a mistake to pick J.D. Vance?
Yeah, I don't think it was a mistake on their part. I mean, would he have been my first choice? You know, maybe, maybe not. But I think at the end of the day, this has always been about a turnout election. And the issue that the Trump and the MAGA vote has faced in the last several elections has been the fact that you have a lot of support out there, but that doesn't always translate to votes. And right. So I think the calculus behind picking J.D. Vance was trying to say, not only, you know, do you continue to support me, but I need you to turn out. You know, when this was a Trump versus Biden race, Biden's numbers were in the gutter, not because he was losing Democrats. He was losing Republicans. He was losing Democrats, right? So, right. You know, the Biden strategy was, how do we get these folks back? The Harris strategy has been, you know, we've kind of coalesced them. How do we keep them in? And so it goes back to being a turnout, you know, base election yet again. So I think the Vance pick actually helps in that sense. I agree. It's probably been far from perfect rollout, but it's also a vice presidential pick. You know, it matters to a certain degree. But I think they have time to recalibrate. And J.D. has positions that are far from the mainstream of Republicans, but it's what the base likes and what the base wants. And if that helps them turn out in November, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you can say that, you know, Trump is in his late 70s and Vance becomes the MAGA heir apparent, I guess. But really quickly, I mean, you can downplay the VP pick, but I'm curious what your thoughts about what you think the Democrats will do in that spot.
Yeah, I think they're in a tight spot, you know, on their end. You know, there's a handful of states that they know that they have to get far more competitive and outright win to block Trump's path to 270. I think Trump's path is still more viable because he can put a couple other states into play versus, you know, Kamala Harris to kind of figure out how to get that straight flush.
Yeah.
I think if she picks Shapiro, it helps her in Pennsylvania, but I do think it hurts her in Michigan with the Arab American vote there. If she picks, you know, Mark Kelly, you know, how does that translate to the Rust Belt, which is really where she's got to pick up at least one or two of them, and how do either of the two of them play in Georgia if they're going to try and put Georgia into play?
Yeah.
And if it's Tim Walz, you know, he's a great Midwestern
snooze fest.
Yeah. So I think they're in a little bit of a bind. They got to figure out something that helps kind of keep that coalition of Democrats on board, doesn't, you know, disincentivize the youth vote from turning out, and doesn't hurt them with other demographics within their cohort.
I think the smart play is Kelly, the military side of it, kind of a great American, and I think that you can play on that a little bit in the Midwest and so on. But that's just my opinion. I think he's the logical pick from where I sit. But
I think what's telling is the fact how many 2028 Democrats, the viable Democrats, really took their name out early, not wanting to kind of jump on this with 100 days or less than 100 days to go.
Yeah, I mean, Whitmer, for me, it's clear. She wants to run for president, and she doesn't want to, no one wants to, she doesn't want to be put in a corner. Nobody puts her in a corner. She's got to build her own name recognition in other ways. Ozzie, we got to run. Great stuff as always. We appreciate the time.
Take care. Have a good one. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.